for your word that challenges us, convicts us, and guides us. May it move in and through us and lead us to serve you. Gracious God, hear this our prayer. Amen. I'm going to be a little bit honest today, or a whole lot of honest. I'm not a fan of what happens to Paul and Silas. It just really grates on me because I look at this and I think, wow, they healed somebody. And then they get thrown into jail after being beaten. It just seems wrong. But with that wrong comes a few other pieces, because it all begins when Paul and Silas are on their way to pray, and Paul gets frustrated at this girl with an unclean spirit who keeps on identifying them and harassing and haranguing them. In many ways, it resembles that sibling who stands right next to you, puts their finger about that close to you, and says, "I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you." Nobody's ever done that, right? Or never had that done to them, right? Now, I know the size of some of your families, and I know if you weren't that sibling, you were the other sibling. Now, Paul, in a moment where he is less than graceful, does heal her. He heals her not because he wants her to be made whole, but because he's annoyed and frustrated. The end result is what we look at, but it's not a good beginning. And then it gets worse. Because instead of the woman being free from the spirit being a point of celebration and joy, that is what gets them thrown into jail. Their accusation of disturbing the peace is because they healed this woman. They healed her. This woman who has no advocate, no one who is willing to say, "She needs to be healed." Think of all of the other moments where people are healed. There's always someone who says, "You know what? They need help." But this poor young girl is being made into something that personally I find a little disgusting. Her owners are using her malady for profit. And I want to get really angry and frustrated with the owners, but you know what? The whole system in which this woman is telling fortunes and property is broken. The fact that her malady negates her value. As soon as she is healed, she no longer is of need for these owners. Her value is in her suffering, her pain. Their profit is found and built on this negative situation of hers. If you're disgusted by this, good. It should be. It should be that these people are trying to profit off this woman's suffering. But instead of them being happy and excited that she's now healed, they throw them into jail. They throw them into jail for doing a good deed. And there's something just inherently wrong in this. Can you imagine getting thrown into jail for helping somebody with a flat tire? They're using this girl for profit. And she is healed. And she is cast aside. And then it gets even worse. I don't think healing somebody is necessarily grounds for beating them or throwing them into the innermost point of the dungeon. It's almost one of those moments that you just have to swallow what is happening to get to the next part. The fact that the trial, air quotes there, of these two, it's Paul and Silas, it's a foregone conclusion. How are they disturbing the peace? How are they advocating things that are anti-Roman? And yet, they're thrown into jail, put into the very, very heart of the prison and locked, hopefully to be forgotten. And yet, in this terrible, terrible moment, in this horrible situation, what is Paul and Silas's response? They're sitting there singing and praying, and they are lifting up through their prayers and their song the other prisoners in the jail. They are taking this moment, this very, very negative moment, and they are making something better of it. They are challenging the negativity of the moment. They are allowing God's Spirit to work and move in and around them. And then in that moment, the ground shakes so violently that the doors are thrown open. So violently that the stocks and the shackles on their legs get thrown open as well. And then the jailer panics. And what we forget as it happens is we forget this Roman element of shame and pride and how this man cannot face the shame of losing his prisoners. So he is about to end his life, and then God, through Paul, stops him. And Paul says, no, we're still here. We're just having a little prayer worship meeting. We're going to have some hymns. You want to join? He calls to him and says, no, we're right here. And in that moment, we also see God's Holy Spirit work in the moment, because we see this man touched by the grace of Paul and Silas, by the love which they are showing to the other prisoners, by the utter salvation he receives from his own hand. And he asks Paul and Silas, what do I need to do? It's a bad situation that almost gets worse, but ends up being the best situation it could have been, the best outcome. Not only do the jailer and his family show compassion and kindness to Paul and Silas in binding their wounds, but they also become a part of the believers. Now, there's a lot going on. We see the persecution of the church, highlighting what has happened, that it isn't just all about the Acts church growing and growing and growing. There is pushback against the church. There is challenge to the status quo. There is a challenge of faith here. Paul and Silas are thrown into jail for healing someone. That must have caused them to wonder and question what they're doing. And yet their response is not to be annoyed, to be frustrated. It is to pray and worship. They heal this girl who has no advocate. And then they meet this jailer and rescue him from his impulse and save his life in more ways than just the one. What I always find interesting in this story, and what really transforms it for me, is the way the Spirit always is at work. The girl has no one to call on Paul and Silas to heal her, and yet through her actions, somehow the Spirit hears her need, and she is healed. And then Paul and Silas are thrown in jail, and yet the Spirit is with them, giving them comfort, giving them peace, allowing them to transform this very, very bad moment. And then we see the Spirit leading the jailer to ask the question, Paul and Silas to answer the question. And we see this moment from how bad it could have been to how amazing it becomes. The story is less about Paul and Silas' suffering and the injustice that they meet, and more about how God can transform a moment. How God can change a worse situation, and how bad it can be, and somehow find a way to redeem it. The Spirit shifts their imprisonment from one of healing to one of healing. and growing. It takes suffering and pain, and instead of causing more, it brings and gives life. Think about the moment when the cells and the chains are shaken open. Do you think Paul and Silas really wanted to sit around and wait? Do you think their initial impulse was to stay and say, okay, the jailer is going to come running in and it's our job to help him out? No, their initial response must have been to try and flee. And yet the Spirit, God's Spirit, holds them in place, holds them for the bigger, greater moment. You see the Spirit leading them past their own suffering. This is their jailer who they lead to believe. There is a lot of bad, much like the world, in this. There's violence, the dehumanization of the girl, the abuse of her, the abuse of Paul and Silas, using peoples for suffering, for profit. These are not ambiguous things. These are not something that somebody can look at and say, well, it's okay. We can all climb on board, no matter where we stand on the political and cultural spectrum. But we can all also affirm that God transforms this moment. God is continuing to transform this moment. God is continuing to use the Holy Spirit all throughout this passage. God can transform most moments, all moments. Now, it's hard to look at the bad times in our lives when we are in the moment and not say, where was God? When we're in the moment. But then we have the benefit of hindsight and we see how long and great God was there. So let me give you an example. To this day, my family does not eat lasagna, and no, it has nothing to do with a tomato allergy. We can't eat lasagna because none of us can stomach it anymore. Because after we lost my dad for twice a week for about a year, members of our church would always drop off a dinner to help us through. And it was usually lasagna. And so we had lasagna, and we had lasagna on Tuesday, lasagna on Thursday. Next week, we'd have something else, and then lasagna. So we had lasagna and lasagna and lasagna to the point where my older sister once looked at my mom and said, Mom, I really wish people could say we love you in a better way than lasagna. The reality is, though, God's Spirit in that moment sure was lasagna. And did we want the lasagna? We got kind of fed up with it. But hindsight being what it is, I can stand here today and say, I don't know how we would have gotten through that first year without Dad, without all that lasagna. Because it allowed Mom to grieve. It allowed us to balance life and not have to worry about, oh, Mom's got this meeting, so we have to do this, that, or the other. It's amazing how God's Spirit can work through things like lasagna. Small things, big things. God's Spirit is continually moving around us. Sometimes the Spirit brings you the right prayers in a moment, the right support. Maybe it's a phone call saying, hey, how are you doing? Maybe it's a friend seeing you and saying, you know what? You've looked a little bit down. How is life? The Spirit works and changes how it approaches us, how it uses us, how it is always with us. The challenge for us is when we're in that deep and dark jail, allowing the Spirit to have us sing hymns and say prayers. It allows the Spirit to work and move to the next moment. So, brothers and sisters, my challenge to all of us is to allow the Spirit to move us. I'm a Bears fan, and yes, I feel like I'm at a meeting for that. The reality is our head coach this year told the players and the fans to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And in a microcosm, that is our engagement with the Holy Spirit. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. Being comfortable with God's Spirit pushing us, supporting us, guiding us. Brothers and sisters, may we trust in it and find peace.